Also today, a U.S. district judge denied the motions of two government unions. The unions were seeking a temporary restraining order to bar the U.S. government from requiring so-called essential federal employees to work without pay. 480,000 people are now in that position, and another 280,000 people have been furloughed and are not working. The shutdown is affecting more than just federal government employees. State agencies that depend on money from Washington to process unemployment claims or that disperse federal subsidies are also closing down. And private businesses that serve the federal bureaucracy are starting to feel the pinch, too. From Denver, NPR's Mark Roberts has this report.
Drive into the parking lot at the Mid-Continent Ecological Science Center in Fort Collins, Colorado, part of the National Biological Service, and you find it's almost empty. The building is shut and the door is locked. But if you have an appointment and need to get inside, honk your car horn and someone will let you in.
Thanks for getting me.
Some 200 federal employees normally work here, wildlife and fisheries biologists, people who work to save endangered species, and scientists who study water quality and manage the country's biological resources. But they're now locked out.
It's not fun to be here alone, and it's not fun not having people here because they want to be here.
Brenda Dutton, the Science Center's executive secretary, is one of the people still here. Even though she's on the job, until there's a budget agreement, she'll get just half a paycheck.
I'm getting to where I'm really concerned about whether I'm going to have enough money to put gas in my car, pay my car insurance, which is just due at the beginning of January. I pay child care every week. It's not feasible for me to pull the child out of daycare because I still have to pay the tuition fees. So it's getting to where I'm wondering how I'm going to get to work, too.
Federal workers have been given back pay after previous shutdowns, but some can't just pick up their jobs where they left off. Jerry Godby works as a federal wildlife biologist in charge of an endangered species program to save the black-footed ferret from extinction. He's considered essential, so he's still on the job, but he had to turn the ferret program over to the Montana Fish and Wildlife Department.
Because of the federal furlough, all of my radio tracking technicians that were monitoring the release were put on furlough and were not allowed to work.
Godby argues lost time means lost information. The government shutdown, he says, jeopardizes the validity of work underway by research scientists.
Now that they're laid off and they can't collect that data anymore, or they can't manipulate what they need to be able to produce the experiment, then they essentially lose the project and have to start all over again.
Due to the federal shutdown, this office is closed until further notice.
Yesterday, people calling the Kansas Unemployment Office in Topeka got this message. It's one of many state agencies affected by the partial government shutdown. Kansas has run out of federal money to administer its unemployment insurance program until there's a new federal budget. Some 15,000 Kansans will not get their unemployment checks. New Mexico has also run out of federal unemployment funds. State Department of Labor spokeswoman Janet Thompson says New Mexico is now spending its own money to keep unemployment offices open.
In New Mexico, I guess that price is about $45,000 a day. In other states, that number will be much higher.
By the end of the week, nine more states expect to run out of federal money to administer unemployment insurance programs. The government closure also affects private businesses. In Fort Collins, Colorado, for instance, the Foothills Gateway Rehabilitation Center employs disabled workers to clean government buildings. But with the offices closed, Foothills Adult Services Director Erin Strack explains her employees have little work.
They are unfortunately having difficulty with making their rent payments and being able to purchase as many groceries as they normally would, and paying their bills is a problem because their checks are smaller. They have asked for assistance from our agency for some of the individuals, and we've been able to help them out. But, you know, for an extended period of time, this is really going to affect their quality of life.
In Colorado Springs, a store called Art Hardware sells engineering and office supplies to local military bases. Sales manager Don Foreman estimates his business is off 30% since the shutdown.
There's one individual typically that is responsible for ordering supplies and for maybe two or three different departments, and everything goes on a government credit card. And the problem is that the individuals are holding back their orders because they don't know if they will have the monies available to purchase the supplies and equipment that they need.
Other businesses affected include a Los Angeles firm called Autopsy Post Services. When organ donors die, Fidel Herrera's company collects their brain and spinal cord tissue. The tissue goes to the National Neurological Research Specimen Bank, so scientists can study Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and other diseases. But since the Federal Specimen Bank is closed, Herrera can't deliver the tissue.
We will either freeze it or we will place it in formaldehyde, and hopefully we'll just save it until the government gets back on track. But in the interim, as people continue to die, someone has to go out there and procure the tissue, and this is what we do.
If the budget stalemate continues, the Office of Management and Budget estimates more people will feel the effects. For instance, rent subsidy vouchers for low-income households could be stopped. The Meals on Wheels program for 600,000 elderly citizens could come to an end, and money for Medicaid payments for millions of Americans will run out by the end of the month. I'm Mark Roberts in Denver.